are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
A twofer Thursday ahead of the Sweet 16, a full breakdown and preview of Michigan's Round of 16 matchup against Florida State. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is twofer Thursday, March 25th, and what better way to start than with the jingle? Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And on today's episode, it's the only chalk battle in all of the Big Dance's second weekend. The number one seed in the East out of the Big Ten Conference, Michigan taking on the number four seed Florida State. Perspectives and previews from both sides ahead. But first, a lot has been made of the Big Ten struggles this postseason, and maybe rightfully so. And that may be true on the men's side, but in the women's NCAA tournament, that could not be further from the case. The Big Ten placed seven teams in the Big Dance. Five of those made the round of 32, and of those five teams, four have reached the Sweet 16. Let's start with the highest seed from the Big Ten Conference, the two seed in the Hemisphere region, the Maryland Terrapins. The Terps are back in the round of 16 for the first time since 2017, whooping, and I mean whooping Alabama, 100-64. Maryland has the highest scoring offense in the nation and posted 100 points for the seventh time this season and the third time in the school's NCAA tourney history. And speaking of high scoring, that is personified in Iowa's walking bucket of a human being, Caitlin Clark. The Big Ten Freshman of the Year set a Hawkeye program record, scoring 35 points in Iowa's upset over Kentucky in the round of 32 on Monday. Clark's 26 first half points outscored the entire Wildcats team in the opening two quarters. We also had some historic firsts for the Big Ten teams. The number four seed in the Mercator region, the Indiana Hoosiers, advanced past the second round of the tournament for the first time in program history, as did the Michigan Wolverines, who will be one of two or possibly three schools that send both the men's and women's teams into the Sweet 16. So let's continue our discussion about Michigan and welcome on the host of Locked On Wolverines, Isaiah Hall, here to give us the outlook of the men's side heading into the Sweet 16 on Sunday. It's the one seed in the East, Michigan, taking on the number four seed, Florida State. Isaiah Hall, very glad to have you back on the show.
Absolutely. You know, it's good to turn the attention back to basketball after having a football-centric day. So it's, you know, everyone's super excited about what's happening and, you know, a huge game coming up on Sunday.
Michigan football never stops, but Michigan men's basketball also performing very well, getting to the round of 16 and now face a Seminoles team. But let's look back at Michigan's first two wins, including that hard-fought win over LSU on Monday night. What has impressed you most about the Wolverines so far in the Big Dance?
Honestly, it's some of those guys that you really needed to step up actually doing it, because that was the thing that I had been saying coming out of the end of the regular season. And it seemed like, okay, Eli Brooks is out, and they're not going to play as well without him, or not, you know, Isaiah Livers is out and it feels like that's the death knell. So they needed the production that you're seeing from Eli Brooks, Shondi Brown coming in, and listen, he'd gone 0-for in a couple of these games or close to, right? Like even against Ohio State, no, they didn't win, but Shondi hadn't scored until he finally hit that three late in the game. But it seemed like he's letting it fly and it's just not happening. But this was not that. Like, if Shondi comes in and he can hit that early three to kind of get going, it's like the basket just widens for him. That's exactly what they needed going into a game like that, because I think you look at what this Michigan team is without Isaiah Livers. It's hard because you lose a guy that his peers call him the best player on the team, right? Like, a lot of us talk about Hunter Dickinson and his impact, but Isaiah Livers has been the one where it's like, if he scores in double digits, it's basically an automatic win. And he scores in double digits almost every. So having that collective effort from the group, that hustle that you expected to see from Michigan, sharing the basketball again, because they weren't doing that for a little while. You started seeing assist numbers around like 7-8 in some of these games, including their, I believe, the loss to Illinois, really low assist numbers. Even when they were winning some of those games that I felt like they'd had no business winning, like Iowa. I mean, yeah, they ended up winning by 20 points. Did what? Was I watching that game feeling like, you know, I'm looking at Michigan fans on Twitter and they're just having a great time in that game, and I'm watching it being like, they're lucky that they're doing this, and it's a lot of that was their defense. But offensively, I mean, if you're going to have this elite offense, it's got to be the thing that it's been all year, which is predicated on sharing the basketball, and they just were not doing that for a little while. They were too content to play one-on-one. Guys just not being as unselfish as you're accustomed to seeing, not doing the thing that we've seen all year of them searching for that open shot. Against LSU, they had 22 assists. So you're not only back in the right side of things, you're actually outpacing what you were doing before. So I think that if they can, I think they also did some really smart things defensively against LSU, right? To like really slow them down. They would run with LSU for a while and then kind of be like, all right, now that we got you all tired, you know, we're going to slow you down a little bit and see what, you know, how you can play our style of game. I thought it was really smart that they kind of let LSU essentially run itself out of gas and then let the suffocating defense that we've seen take over, not allowing them to do what they like to do, which is get offensive rebounds and things like that. So all in all, it was just kind of a return to the norm. Know that the score wasn't a 20-point blowout like we're used to seeing, but LSU is a really good team, and I think that that's something to build on. It doesn't necessarily give me confidence, considering you've got Florida State and then presumably Alabama after that, especially without ice. But at the same time, it does give me the idea that, hey, if they can find a way to get this holistic production from the basically everyone that steps out on the floor, they play defense when it matters. It was just more important than playing, I think, defense the entire game per se, because if you get timely stops, that's the most important thing. And then they share the basketball. They're going to be a tough out.
I think this team brand of basketball is what Michigan does best. But speaking of Isaiah Livers, is there any change in his status? I know it's unlikely he plays in this round of 16 matchup against FSU, but any change in his status heading into the second weekend?
Not that I've heard. Juwan Howard said after this last game that he's still out indefinitely. And they're saying on TV stress fracture, which is actually what I wrote, just because I've had a stress fracture before. And to me, it seems unlikely that he'd ever be able to get back, just given that, because those things can take a very, very long time to heal, depending on the severity. I wouldn't count on it. I mean, maybe by the time, if they are able to get all the way to the final four, I mean, you're talking a couple more weeks, maybe that's enough to be able to get him there. But I would imagine this weekend, no, he's not going to be seeing the four at all.
You said in the start of this conversation that a lot of people had written off Michigan, and I think that was the national perception without Isaiah Livers, even as a number one seed in this NCAA tournament. Do you think, from what you've seen so far in the Big Dance, that Michigan has what it takes to reach the Final Four if they can get out of the second weekend?
I mean, I think they do. It's just a matter of replicating essentially what they did this last game, taking what the defense gives you, and they're going to have a tough opportunity against Florida State. Like you mentioned pre-show, they've got the length, and looking at where they are at defensively, you know, they going up against LSU, they didn't, that was one of the worst defenses. That was like the worst defense they've played since early non-conference. So you would hope that they were going to be able to do what they did, 86 points, but you're not going to get that probably against Florida State. So it's, you really have to be that much smarter with your choices offensively. And they're no slouch offensively either. Their offense isn't quite as good as their defense, but it's pretty close. So being able to slow them down simultaneously, I mean, it looks like it can be kind of a slugfest. And you wonder how much, I feel like it might actually help in some degree. Like, yeah, Leonard Hamilton has been a mentor to Juwan Howard. It makes me think that there's a really good opportunity for him to say, I know what you're going to try to do, so we can try to plan against them.
So still very much hope on the horizon with the Michigan Wolverines as we continue to look at the Sweet 16 matchup with Isaiah Hull. And you're talking about hope, you're talking about good stuff, then of course you need to be talking about rockauto.com as well. And the convenient self-service you can receive from this family-run business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. We still have a lot of tournament action this weekend. You don't want to be leaving your house. You don't want to go to a traditional chain storefront. You want to sit on your couch and get all the parts you can need for your car or truck delivered right to you in a few easy clicks at rockauto.com. Their catalog has everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, everything you need can be delivered directly to you in just a few easy clicks. And best of all, at rockauto.com, the prices are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? That's a bad question. You'll never have to at rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you're there, make sure to write Locked On. That's L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N. Locked On. L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N. And their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. One more time for the jingle on this 2 for Thursday. It just makes sense. 2 for Thursday, 2 jingles. Here we go. That's how great rockauto.com is. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. The jingle is getting better and better in March. That is what I promise to you each and every time. And that is the convenient self-service you can also receive. Another promise at rockauto.com. So a deep dive into the round of 16 matchup between the 1 seed in the East region, Michigan, and the 4 seed in the East region, the Florida State Seminoles, both perspectives from the Wolverines and the Noles coming up. And you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes outside of what you might hear about the NCAA tournament with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport. Yes, I know it's crazy to believe that things are happening other than March Madness, but he updates you on everything you need to know in under 20 minutes with the help of our local experts across the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. I hope this is one of your favorite shows, and I hope that you enjoy hearing from Isaiah Hall. We continue our Michigan outlook on the Wolverines matchup against FSU for this upcoming Sunday's Round of 16 game. We mentioned some of the role players like Eli Brooks, like Shawnee Brown. A guy I think needs to step up a little bit more, and I have a high level of expectation for him, is Franz Wagner. What do you need to see out of Franz if Michigan is going to be successful against FSU?
Against Florida State and beyond, starting faster, right? Franz came alive in the last 5 minutes of that last game, but he was close to non-existent for the rest of the game. So, I mean, he was doing some things defensively, but, you know, even then he was out of position sometimes and it didn't really seem like he was that focused until late in the game. And then he was kind of the X factor at the very end of the game to really help Michigan pull away. They're going to need that from him all game. I don't think you can wait until the last 5 minutes in order to beat Florida State, in order to continue to advance. You're going to have to see at least a little more consistency, even if it's in spurts, but not waiting 35 minutes to finally impact the game. I think you're going to have to see him make those big shots, be that big defensive difference maker earlier on. And he's a guy that can impact the game on his own. He could be the best player on the team if he played consistently. But the thing is, he does not play consistently. So once we see him turn it on, you just hope it happens sooner than later if you're wanting Michigan to survive in advance.
I know we're still a few days away from Sunday's matchup in the Sweet 16. 5 p.m. Eastern tip, we get the trio of Jim Nantz, Bill Raftery, and Grant Hill on the call. So I ask Isaiah Hall, do you have a score prediction yet from the research you have done up until this point for the matchup between the Wolverines and the Seminoles?
Oh, that's tough. I haven't been predicting basketball all season. I don't know that I want to start now. I think Michigan will pull it out just because I just think that we've seen them play great basketball for the most part. I think you saw it again, as stressful as it might have been against LSU. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I'm going to go Michigan 58, Florida State 54. But I don't think it's got a high scoring game. I think defense wins supreme on this one. I think that's probably pretty close to when the last time they played.
We'll finish with that. The host of Locked On Wolverines, Isaiah Hall. Thank you very much for your time. And now to give us the perspective of the challengers out of the ACC, the Florida State Seminoles, the number 4 seed in the East region, is our ACC correspondent across the Locked On Podcast Network, but also the very talented host of Locked On Syracuse. It is Tyler Aki joining us to tell us how Florida State approaches this matchup against Michigan. Tyler, first and foremost, thank you for your time, and thank you for expanding your knowledge, not just of the Syracuse Orange, but the rest of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
You know, usually when they say the talented host of Locked On Syracuse, they're talking about Tim. They're not talking about me. So thank you. I appreciate you inviting me on the show, and always love talking anything ACC hoops, college hoops, and glad to be here.
You know everything about college hoops, not just ACC. You have some great Big Ten knowledge. You have some great mid-major knowledge. Tyler Aki is a walking encyclopedia of college basketball knowledge. So we turn to him in this month of March to discuss a matchup in the Sweet 16 between the number 1 seed in the East, Michigan, and the number 4 seed in the East, Florida State. So Tyler, I don't think a lot of people listening to Locked On Big Ten have watched a lot of Seminole basketball this year. So if you had to give a broad stroke perspective of what Florida State brings on the hardwood, how would you describe the Seminoles?
Depth, and more depth. And that's part of what makes them click and why they can be good in a tournament like this, where some teams you're getting down to the end of the season and they're beaten down, worn down. And I mean, you think about now the situation everyone's going through. You're sitting in these hotel rooms for long periods of time. You get like an hour of recess, it feels like, when you get to go play on the baseball fields or whatever. But this is a Florida State team where, okay, maybe one guy's off, but you got nine other guys that can go out there and give you some impact minutes. And that's what makes them dangerous and really has always made them dangerous. Leonard Hamilton's a fantastic coach. He knows what he's doing. And they're a good three-point shooting team as well.
So they have two double-digit wins in their first two games of this NCAA tournament, beating UNC Greensboro in their opening round and then really hammering a Colorado team that was hot heading into that 4-5 matchup. From what you've seen from Florida State so far in the Big Dance, what has impressed you the most?
I would say the fact that, so I mentioned they're a good three-point shooting team. Well, in that first game against UNC Greensboro, they won without making a three-pointer, which in this era of college basketball, this era of basketball, any level, high school, I mean, even like seventh and eighth grade, if you can win without hitting a three-pointer, that to me is super impressive. And I look at Florida State, and I look at whenever you look for teams that can do some damage in the tournament, I look for teams where if your strength or one of your strengths is being neutralized and taken away from you, can you still win the basketball game? And Florida State has proven that. They are a good three-point shooting team, one of the top 35 in the country, and they won a game without making a three-point shot. And when you can do that, to me, that says you're a pretty good team that can play flexibly and can go out. And if something's not working for you, you can find other ways to win. And I think there is a tremendous value to that in March.
Even against Colorado, Florida State only shooting below 30% from three, but they shot 62% on their two-point field goal percentages. And the Buffs had it into that round of 32 matchup. They shot 64% in the first round. Florida State held them to just 24% from three in that round of 32 matchup to advance to the Sweet 16. So Syracuse and Florida State actually did not face each other in this ACC regular season slate this past season. But from what you saw of ACC basketball, give us a couple of players on the Seminoles you can highlight that will be impact players in this game against Wolverines.
Well, there's certainly Scotty Barnes. I mean, we have a fantastic freshman matchup in this game between Hunter Dickinson on one end, and then you have Scotty Barnes on the Florida State end. And I feel like Scotty has kind of, he battled some injuries and had to miss a couple games during the season, but he is one of the most talented players in the ACC. And he's a guy who, he's got length. He can handle the ball. He's like a point forward. Think of like a Ben Simmons. He's not going to go out and step out and shoot a lot of threes, but he's a long wing that can play point guard for you. He's kind of like Cade Cunningham in a sense too, just minus the three-point shooting. But he can attack. He can facilitate. He can do so much stuff around the rim, and he sets up a lot of his teammates. I think of the 1-2 punch that he provides and the size and the length that him and Balsa Koprivica, the big man for Florida State, provide. I mean, you've got Scotty Barnes, 6'9", plays like a point guard, and then you got a 7'1 Koprivica, and there's just always going to be height on this team for Florida State. You see it every year. It feels like Leonard Hamilton's got a new 7-footer, 7'2 guy every single year, and this year's no different. He's got a pair of 7-footers on the team. So I look at what can Michigan State do to disrupt the size, or not Michigan State, what Michigan can do to disrupt the size. I know a lot of Wolverine fans are very upset right now, but what can they do to disrupt what Florida State's going to do and how they're going to try to overwhelm them with their height, with their length, with their tough defense, all that.
So the lines are out for the Sweet 16 across the NCAA tournament. Four games on Saturday, four games on Sunday, and BetOnline has you covered for everything you might need. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You want to win some money? You want to lay down some bets? The only place to do that, betonline.ag. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. They even have props out right now and odds out for the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament. Leading the way, three Gonzaga guys. Jalen Suggs at plus 450, Corey Kispert at plus 500, Drew Timmy at plus 550, the first guy possibly out of the Big Ten Conference, Franz Wagner of Michigan, and Hunter Dickinson of Michigan, both at 22-1. So BetOnline has you covered for everything, and I mean everything you can need when you want to lay some wagers down on the Big Dance. It's the fastest and easiest way to place all your sports action, and you can head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you put in the promo code LOCKEDON. That's L-O-C-K-E-D. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So the really cool thing about the Sweet 16 this year is it starts at 2 p.m. on both Saturday and Sunday and goes the entire rest of the day with the nightcap tipping off just prior to 10 p.m. It is going to be a full slate of college basketball on both Saturday and Sunday for the round of 16. And then Monday and Tuesday, Elite Eight action as well. So how do we keep the energy high? How do we keep rolling through the second weekend of the Big Dance? Of course, we turn to one place, and that is Built Bar. And we have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on each and every one of their flavors. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup on this 2 for Thursday is another really good one. That is what you will find in the Sweetest 16. It is Mint Brownie taking on Coconut Puff. Wow. Two great flavors. If you haven't tried the Coconut Puff, it's light, it's airy, it's incredible. And Mint Brownie, one of the classics. Both incredibly good. If I'm looking at this right now, I'm breaking down this Sweetest 16 matchup like we're breaking down the Sweet 16 matchup on a 2 for Thursday between Michigan and Florida State. Here's the nod. I'm going to say Mint Brownie would win, if we put it in basketball numbers, 71-68. A late three-pointer at the buzzer sends Mint Brownie on to the enticing eight. That is how good everything has been in the Built Bar Bracket Madness. If you agree with me and you want to vote as well, or you disagree, go to BuiltBar.com or at @bar_built on Twitter and place your vote. And remember, when you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. We are getting to the end of the month of March. At the end of the month of April is the NFL Draft. And are you ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft host Trevor Sekema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on the 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on RadioAuto.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Our focus will be the NFL Draft for a good majority of the month of April. We might hear from guys like Trevor Sekema or Benjamin Solak, but right now our focus is on the NCAA tournament and specifically the Sweet 16 matchup between Michigan and Florida State. We continue on with Tyler Aki giving us the ACC perspective of FSU. And this is how we know we can trust the college basketball acumen of Tyler Aki, although he is the host of Locked On Syracuse coming in and dropping balls of Koprivica. I hope I said that correctly, just in the middle of a sentence. That's how you know this guy knows his college hoop stuff. Another guy for Florida State, who I think is their senior leader, MJ Walker, a very good three-point shooter, and he can score when the Florida State Seminoles need him to. So Tyler, as you approach this matchup against Michigan and you're looking at it from the Florida State perspective, what matchup do you think they will look to highlight to really take advantage against the Wolverines?
It's interesting because I think they might look at a guy like Raekwon Gray. And Raekwon Gray is kind of that tweener forward. Think of like a Draymond Green. I mean, everyone like to call him sort of like a baby Zion because he's one of those bigger build guys. He's not a 6'10 guy, but he can elevate too, and he can make some crafty plays. I look to see not necessarily what matchup it's going to be, but how Michigan is going to respond to some of the things that Raekwon Gray is going to do out there on the floor. Because listen, he can sometimes he can go off for 17, 18, 20 points, but sometimes he's going to score 6 points and be the best player out there on the floor. And you can tell he's the best player out there on the floor. So I look for, how is Michigan going to counter a guy like Raekwon Gray, who can disrupt the games in so many different ways, make all these important winning plays for your basketball team? And if they can contain him and kind of make Scotty Barnes and Koprivica and Anthony Polite play a little above their age, then I think Michigan could be in a good spot, and especially if Hunter Dickinson is playing well too. But if they can't, if Michigan's going to have, I think, the clear advantage in experience, and it shows out. They've got guys who are much older. You've got some veteran level guys on that Michigan team. But if Raekwon Gray is having one of those crafty games where he's playing like Draymond Green or something out there, then I think that Michigan's going to really have their hands full, because I think Raekwon Gray is going to be the most important player on either team in this game.
I don't think Michigan fans would like a Draymond Green experience for many, many reasons, including the fact that Draymond Green, an alum of Michigan State as well. So our friends at betonline.ag see this as Michigan favored by 3 points. Now I ask Tyler Aki, what is your score prediction for the Sweet 16 matchup on Sunday between the Wolverines and the Seminoles?
You know, I actually like Florida State in this game.
Get him off the podcast.
I'm sorry.
He's a Syracuse guy. We don't even care. Get him off.
No, but he, let me lay it out for you here. Please. When I look at Michigan's four losses this year, they came against Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan State, and Ohio State. All of those games, I think you can point to depth as a big reason why those other teams won. Like, look at Illinois. They were without Io, but they got help from their depth. When you look at a guy like Curbelo stepping up and some of the other guys that came off the bench, just the freshmen in that game stepping up. And then you look at a team like Michigan State. I mean, they're running just what Florida State does. They're going to run like 10 or 11 guys out there on the floor. And then Ohio State and Minnesota, you had 8 guys playing at least 13 minutes in the game. So I think depth is going to be very important. And at the end of the day, Florida State's got more of it in this game. So that's why I like Florida State. I'm not really sure if this is going to be a high scoring or low scoring game. I can't really get a gauge on it. It could be one of those games where all the shooting's a little tight out of the gate and it's the big atmosphere of the Sweet 16. So I'll say it's going to be a lower scoring game. I'll go with Florida State 70, Michigan 65.
I would agree with that. I think the pace is going to be a little bit slower. Both offenses very efficient. Florida State 12th best in the country. Michigan up there in the top 7 as well. But Michigan likes to control the pace. Although Florida State plays fast, they have such a depth that they can stick around for the entire game. Tyler Aki, the host of Locked On Syracuse, but also our ACC correspondent across the Locked On Podcast Network, coming on and giving you the perspective to let you know everything you need to know about FSU ahead of their matchup against Michigan. Tyler, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Ben. Appreciate it.
So many thanks to both of my guests on this 2 for Thursday. Great members of the Locked On Podcast Network's College Channel. First, the host of Locked On Wolverines, Isaiah Hull. Then our ACC correspondent, Tyler Aki of Locked On Syracuse. Yes, the Orange also playing in the Sweet 16. You know me, I'm a Syracuse alum. I got to put it in there every now and then. But a great thorough breakdown of the matchup between Michigan and Florida State this upcoming Sunday. That means Sunday is the weekend, which means tomorrow it's a full weekend preview. And yes, full is a little bit different now when there's only one game to preview, but it will be exciting nonetheless. A huge guest coming up on tomorrow's episode. It rhymes or sounds a lot like this is March. It's more like this is Marsh. That comes tomorrow on our full weekend preview ahead of the Sweet 16 of the Big Dance, featuring at least still one Big Ten team. So until we talk tomorrow, have a splendid 2 for Thursday.